Well, this time we go to and dismiss the kids to go to Kid Zone and prepare for a great evening. Well, not evening, morning in this case. I'm going to hang out with Miss Kathy today, and I know she's excited to have each and every one of you kids. So have fun, enjoy, and the rest of us will have some fun and enjoy as well. How about that?
Amen.
That's right. If this is your first time with us, or if it's been a while for you, my name is Chip Ward. I'm the minister here at Lexington Christian Church. And I tell you what, like I said, I can't help but bring it back up. We just finished a fantastic sermon series recently, and we called it hashtag Love On, but it was more than a sermon series. It was an initiative, something we want to be about in 2018, how we love on people, how we love on one another, how we love on our community, how we love on our neighbors, how we love on the people with the love of Jesus Christ, knowing He first loved us. That's what we want to be about this year. And there's going to be ways in which that we do our best to put that initiative into practice here at the church. But today we're going to be introducing you to something throughout the year that I've entitled the Old Testament Chronicles. How many of you guys have ever read the Chronicles of Narnia books before? Okay, got a few of them that have read those. If you ever watched the movies as well, they've made movies. The movies were actually done really well during those times. But it's the idea of just how there were people throughout the Bible that God chose and invested in. And just there were people in the Old Testament that loved the Lord and wanted the opportunities to serve Him and be used to lead God's people back to Him. And today we're going to be, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on a man who many probably have heard of before, and his name is Moses. You know, his story is vast. He's got a lot of things that's happened in his life. So we're going to take some time and dive into a couple of areas that maybe aren't as talked about as much that we can actually apply to our lives today. So with that said, let's ask God to be with us. Let's join me in prayer and ask for the Lord to help us glean from His Word today. Let's pray. Almighty God, I just come before You and I praise You for bringing us to this place today. Thank You for bringing us together as a church, Lord. No matter where we're at in life, God, when we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, You are with us. And Father, I pray for Your presence to move in this time we have together. God, I pray that You will bless us and allow Your Word to speak to us and help us gain truth that we can apply to our lives, God. We are so grateful for You, Lord, and we just ask now You be with this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know what? How many of you remember the days where a phone was just a phone? Absolutely. And sometimes I think many of us long for those days where a phone was just a phone. And I tell you what, I remember when we didn't have caller ID. And when the phone rang, you answered it. Most of the time, it was a family member or a good friend. It was someone that you knew when that phone rang, it's something you looked forward to. Nowadays, not so much. When the phone rings, it's either a salesman, a telemarketer, someone trying to say, hey, you owe this. You know, and it's almost today. And now we have to have the caller ID to know who's calling. So I'm sure there's still many of us that we get on the phone, we call someone. Recently, Megan and I will occasionally, about once or twice a week, we will check in on her mom and dad, or they'll call us. Just to see how things are going with her family back in Georgia. I'll do the same thing with my family in North Carolina with my sister. And so there's times that the art of the phone call hasn't gone away, but it's what it's been added to that can kind of deter us a little bit. And we're able to actually stay more connected today thanks to the internet, to social media and so forth, where we can send pictures, we can do videos and so forth. So The use of the phone has changed a little bit, but still, there's nothing like the personal touch of a phone. Except when it's someone who's calling you to say, hey, you just won a trip to Aruba. That literally happened to me. I was working, when I was in Illinois, I was working for Chick-fil-A, and during that time, I actually had to, was helping oversee their catering in the store location we were at. And so I'm making a delivery to one of the local hospitals that had ordered some food, and I was about to finish up when I got a phone call. And because of the area of Chicago, so many people had different area codes and so forth, I thought it was a customer actually trying to reach me because we were expecting a phone call. So I actually answered the phone, and sure enough, it was someone who said, "Hi, congratulations, you've been selected to win this trip to Aruba." And they go into all these details, and my personality is not, I'm not always the type of person to interrupt someone when they're talking. So once they have finished this, giving this sales pitch, I said, "Listen, I am so sorry. I am in the middle of working right now. I cannot talk, and I apologize." It starts immediately someone talking about continued things. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, did they just not just hear me?" So I go out of character, and I interrupt them and say, "Listen, I am really sorry. I do not have time for this right now. I cannot talk." They keep going, as if I hadn't even said a word. And then I finally put two and two together and realized, this is a recording. It's a real person. It sounds like a real person. It doesn't sound automated at all. This is a real person talking, but at the same time, this is a recording. I'm like, "Sorry, I don't have time for this," and I just hit the end button on my smartphone. And later I went back in and I hit something that I do like about the smartphone. You can block that number. I like that in so many ways. And so, and actually just recently, it happened again. I was actually in the middle of a day with Diane. We were in the office. I was talking to her about something important. And my phone rings, and it's an Illinois area code. And I'm like, "Okay, listen, let me get this, because this number's actually been calling me for like a week." And so I stop, I answer it, and sure enough, "Hi, you've won a trip to Fiji because you went to so-and-so." The last time I checked, unless I've got a twin and their name is Chip Ward as well and they look like me, I have not been to Fiji. And so immediately hung it up, scrolled, hit my little icon, little thing that lets me know I can block this number, and boom. So, you know, nobody likes to get calls like that. How many guys have ever received calls like that? It's that they are annoying. They make you just go, "Oh my gosh, why in the world do people have that much time on their hands?" But I'll tell you what, there's one call that I hope every single one of us look forward to, and that is a call from God. Now, God doesn't necessarily get on the phone and call you, but it is the idea that God is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling me. And sometimes I think when we think of this concept of God calling us, I'm sure many of us have probably asked the question, what does it mean to be called by God? What does it mean to get a call from God? Today, we're going to take a look at the life of Moses, and we're going to talk about his experience of when he was called by God. So take your Bibles and let's look at the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. We're going to look at chapter 3. And like I said, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about one of Israel's greatest leaders, the Hebrews who followed him, how he rescued them. But there's aspects of his story that I believe that we can actually take and glean from today. So looking at Exodus chapter 3, we're going to have a couple of spots. We'll spend some time in Exodus 3 and Exodus 4 a little bit. But let's take a look at the first 10 verses here in Exodus as we get started this morning. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire outside of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. Moses. Moses. And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Do not come near. Take off the sandals off your feet, for the place which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Probably one of the most memorable parts of Exodus in the life of Moses. Seeing a bush that's on fire, but it's not being burned. It's not being chaffed. It's not having ash in it. And he goes and sees what this is about. No one else, if you think about it, no one else in the Old Testament or New Testament had this kind of experience. In fact, if you read throughout the Bible, you'll discover they all had their own unique experience with God's calling. Every single one had a different thing happen. It's like God wants to make it personal. In fact, that's the first point. God's call will be personal for you. You know, I can't promise anything as eye-catching as a bush on fire that's not burning. I can promise, though, that God will meet you where you're at. God makes His ways in which He makes Himself known to us. Now, unfortunately, here's another thing, too. I can't promise you, I can't help you see what to look for, you know. There's no formula, there's no pattern to how God works. God does things His own way. He chooses how He wants to approach you and meet you. But I do know this, and you can be sure of this, that you will realize that it's God. He'll make it evident for you. I mean, you could be working at your job one day. Just whether that's at a desk or you actually are active. You can be sitting at home watching TV. You could be at Beach Lake. Before you know it, be out of the water, whether you're fishing or swimming. No matter what you're doing, God, in His time, will call. And here's the thing about that. It's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because God's call, He will make Himself known to you. And that's the important thing. Now, with this happens, there obviously is a ton of questions that start popping in your head when you think about God calling you. The first one obviously is, you know, hey God, why? Why would you want to call me? Why would you even want to talk to me? But there's one question that maybe we should actually think about a little bit more. And that is, what is God calling me to? What is God calling me to? For us, you know, that's a great question. For God to call us, necessarily not to chat, like we would hope a friend would, and you just want to find out what's going on, and God wants to hear what's happening in your life. Usually when God calls, it's for a purpose. There's meaning behind it. There's a mission for us to complete. Now, I don't know about you, I'm a child of the 80s. There were a lot of great TV shows that I was introduced to when I was a child. One of them was The A-Team. Growing up, my all-time favorite, and I have all the series of it, is Knight Rider. I wasn't a fan of David Hasselhoff. I was a fan of the car. Okay, let's clear the air with that right now. But there's another show that's not as looked at, but was really unique to me, was Mission Impossible. In fact, if you think about it, that was a very unique show. Now, the movies have done great with Tom Cruise, but I'm talking about the TV series with Peter Graves. Is there any sound with that, guys? There we go. So, now I'm aware that Mission Impossible series actually started in 1969 and ran in 1973. So, before this one came out in 1989. Did you know that Leonard Nimoy was actually in that series of 1969? Spock, so to speak. And so, what was cool about this series is they would, the adventure, the excitement, what the next mission was going to be, and then you always got that tape recording. You know, that little tape recording thing that says, and they asked two things that were prominent about that tape recording. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and then second, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And so, as you think about that series, they always would accept the mission. And they would complete the mission with drama that happens all in between there. And these guys, if you know, if they ever got caught or anything, the department would tell them they never existed and all that good stuff. But, you know, sometimes even when it comes to a call from God, it has a purpose to it. And here's what I can tell you about this. You can have faith that with God at the center of the call, the mission will not be impossible. For with God, anything is possible. And so, that God is very intentional in His plans for us. That's a key point I want you to get out of that as well. That God is very intentional in His plans for us. So you have to understand some circumstances about Moses' life. So let me just take a moment here and explain a couple of things. Understand that Moses, when he was born, was not supposed to live. Because at the time, Pharaoh put out a decree that because of the population of Israel, it was becoming almost equal to or greater than the Egyptian population, they put a decree to put them in slavery and to kill any males that were born to Hebrew women to be killed immediately. So they would actually have midwives right there ready to do the act. So, in other words, here's Moses. He is born, and they do their best to keep it a secret birth. So God was in his life immediately from birth. He was placed in a basket, and he was placed in the Nile River. And he was floating along until probably the heart skipped a beat a little bit, because guess who discovered him? The daughter of Pharaoh. You would think immediately, oh dear, Moses is good as dead. But whether it was God or not, she had compassion on the child. And she raised the child as her own, but she recognized that the child was a Hebrew. So what does she do? She gets and finds a Hebrew to take care of this child. Guess who happened to take care of the child for the daughter of Pharaoh? Moses' own mother. So there was influence. So not only would Moses be in the world of the Egyptians, he would also be in the world of his people. And he would understand the conflict and the struggle in both worlds. But to make a long story short, he fled for his life and was exiled for killing an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. And in his exile, he lived in the desert for many years. This leads to a conversation between Moses and God as we pick up in the story. So let's look back in Exodus 3, and let's look at verses 11 through 15. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Well, what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So understand here, here's Moses, he's got questions. From his perspective, it's understandable for Moses to be a little skeptical. Not of God, but of himself. He knew his past. He knew he was viewed as a traitor to the Hebrews because he was living with the Egyptians, but yet he was a murderer because of what he did to an Egyptian. Another thing, too, he had finally carved out a life for himself. He was living in Midian. He had a wife. He had a child. He was helping his father-in-law tend the flocks. He had finally found peace. And for years, this took place. So you can imagine the hesitation that Moses had when God calls him to go back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh in letting the people of Israel go. I'm sure many of us in some ways probably feel the same way when it comes to being called by God to do something. Let's look at some of these phrases and questions that Moses asked God and see if you can relate. One we just read. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? They won't believe me or listen to me. God, listen, I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And probably this one here, we probably would relate to. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Whenever it comes to answering something from God, it's completely understandable to be hesitant. This is the God of the universe we're talking about anyway, right? What do we start thinking of? What if I mess up? If I mess up, oh my gosh, I'm probably going to go to hell if I mess up God's call. Because He's so perfect, man. I'm not. And then on top of that, you know, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Because if I make a fool of myself, I'm going to make a fool of God. I think that's how we approach this calling of God. I've seen so many people when it comes to say, hey, what's God doing in your life? We clam up. Why? Why are we clamming up? Why are we so hesitant? Why do we feel like that our life isn't good enough to be used by the living God? In fact, there's probably one question that summed all that up. And that's, how do I not only accept this call, but also not mess it up? How do I not only accept the call of God, but how do I not mess up? As we wrap up our time today, I want us to get some truths out there that I hope and pray that will help you understand that God's call is not something to fear or to feel like you're inadequate to do. The first point I want to make up is that God is with you. That is so key and so important. You do not have to do this by yourself. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The point of this is God does not expect you to take a calling and just run with it. Okay? He is with you. He is right there beside you. Because we live now in the new covenant, by Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ in our corner. We have God the Father with us. We have His Holy Spirit in us. We are bonded with them. We are not alone in whatever God calls us to do. In fact, even Hebrews 13:5 in the New Testament says that He will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Let those words sink in, because that's key. That God never leaves us. He never abandons us when He gives us something, a mission to do, something, a purpose. Because we know that that purpose and that mission is going to transform someone's life. So take heart that God will be with you every step of the way in what He calls you to do. He is with you. The second point is just as important. God will supply you with what you need. One of the excuses that Moses gave while he was that he wasn't an eloquent speaker. Here's another truth. Your minister here is not an eloquent speaker either. In fact, I was listening to one of my sermon recordings, and I almost sometimes make it a rule not to listen to myself, but I did this time around, and I was like, my goodness, will somebody just go ahead and call a doctor, because I keep on going, I mean, there were so many times I just like, that was like 7 or 8 times and only in the first part of my sermon that I'm going, My wonderful wife helps me with that sometimes when I'm talking. You're like, Chip, you love that phrase, don't you? It's like your number one word, go-to word. I was like, I don't know why. I guess I get nervous. And everybody has their little thing when they get nervous that they do. That's apparently mine. See, but here's what I do know. Is that God supplies you with what you need. Listen to the words that God told Moses. When he brought up that same phrase, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not good with my speech or tongue. Listen to what God says here in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Then the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. God's going to give you exactly what you need. Because remember, this is what I love about this guy. God provides you not only with the words you need. God's going to provide you with the strength you need. God's going to provide you with the courage you need. God's going to provide you with the boldness you need. God's going to provide you with the confidence you need. Because here's the thing, the fact of the matter is, if we try to do it ourselves, yeah, we could mess it up. But the truth in the matter is, when you have God with you and you understand, and this is what we teach in the New Testament, now hear this, God works best in our weaknesses. God works where we think we are not good at. That is where He steps in and He makes it happen. Because you are with Him, He will be with you. He will give you exactly what you need to say. He will give you exactly what you need to do. He will give you the strength in your arms and your hands and your feet. He will empower you to do the mission that He is calling you to do. It is not about you. It is about who? It's about Him. His glory. Listen to these words. From 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. So, so important here. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So we can, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, even insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's say that together, church. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Take comfort in that. The God of the universe is with you. He will supply everything you need. That leads to the final truth. Is that God's grace is enough for our flaws. That's key. Because, well, like I just said, if we're trying to do it on our own, in our own power, our own smarts, our own might, our own wit, everything that we think we are, that we're good at, we are going to fail. Because we're trying to put it all on us. See, answering the call of God, you think it's putting it on us, but here's the reality. Is that God wants to partner with you. Now, some people say, well, God doesn't need me. That could be, there's truth to that. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But because He loves us so much and He wants a relationship with you, He wants to partner with you in spreading the message of good news to the world. And my goodness, right now, does the world need good news? Yes? Yes, it does. Amen. It needs good news. When we understand that it's God, it's our Savior Jesus Christ, it is the Holy Spirit of God that works through us and with us, there's a peace that comes over us. It's a peace the world doesn't understand. It's a peace that no one gets because it's from above. It's from God. And He gives you the peace to know that anything that you're doing in His name for the kingdom work of God, He'll do it for you. But here's the most important thing, okay? It's important to remain in Christ and His love. It's important to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because when we're called by Christ, by God, to do something for His kingdom work, it's important to keep yourself focused on Christ, the words of the Bible that are written for us. And it's important to know that through all this, we can fulfill the call of God and be the instruments of pointing people to Jesus Christ. We're not called to save them, folks. I'm not called to save anyone. I am simply called to point them to the Savior. And that's what we're called to do. We let God transform the heart. We let God change the life. We let God rescue and redeem a life outside of Him. That's what's important. Today we've taken a look at parts of the life of Moses. There's aspects of his life that when he received this call from God, he was just like you and me. He was skeptical, hesitant, wasn't sure of himself because he was trusting in himself. He wasn't trusting in God until God finally woke him up and helped him realize that you can't do this outside of me. You got to do it with me. Today, we've been focusing on the call. Talked about the phone call. And how God is calling. He's calling you. He's calling me. There's three calls today I want you to make you aware of. The first call is the call that if you are outside of Jesus Christ, your life, if you're feeling like your life is incomplete, if you feel like there's a void in your life, there's a reason for that. It's because you're outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you recognize that and you realize that and you feel that, then I pray that today you answer that and you come forward and discover a life that can give you fulfillment, can make your life complete, and allow your life to have a meaning and a purpose behind it. You can come forward today, you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord and Savior, and be baptized today. Think about that. Is that what God's calling you to do? Maybe God, you've done all those things. You've given your life to Jesus Christ. But maybe you've been wondering, what is my call? What is my purpose? Well, I'm telling you, God is calling you to something. I can't tell you what that is. But what I can do is you can come forward today and we can pray for you and pray that the Lord would answer that call. If you feel deep down, yes, I've given my life to Jesus, but what's next? Come forward and let's talk about that. Let's pray about that together. Let's do this together. You're not alone in this. And finally, there's a third call. Maybe you are giving your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard the call of God in your life. You know what you're supposed to be doing. But maybe you're going through the motions of it. Maybe it's gotten stale in your life. And maybe you feel like, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm not seeing results. I'm not seeing purpose. I'm not seeing fruit. Today, I challenge you. You need to repent if you feel that way. Because it's not about the results. It's about the journey of working with God and fulfilling His purpose. So I ask you, come forward. Let us pray with you. That you recommit yourself to the Lord. You recommit your life to the call that He's given you. Maybe you've just struggled. Maybe you're going through certain seasons in life right now where you just need prayer. If you come forward today, I'll pray with you. If others of you come forward, we have our elders ready to come with you and pray with you. Church, we're not supposed to be doing this alone. We're supposed to be doing it together. So as the singers get ready to lead us in singing and we get ready to stand, I pray that you will answer one of those three calls today. That you will understand how much the Lord is with you, that He will supply you with all you need, and that His grace is enough for you, even as flawed as you might think you are. Or maybe not, you don't feel like you're flawed. He's still with you. So let's stand. Let's sing. And I pray you'll answer one of those three calls this morning. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being here today. We hope it's been a blessing for you. And as you go into a new week, I pray that God's grace will be with you and that you're going to have some awesome moments to serve Him this week doing His kingdom work. A couple things I just want to make you aware of before we are dismissed. Next Sunday is daylight savings time. So don't forget. Unfortunately, we do lose an hour of sleep, so make sure you get plenty of rest. I know for those of us that like to stay up on Saturday night, yours included, we got to be careful of that. So make sure to set those clocks up before we do get some sunshine, though, extended. So that's, and my wife loves that. She loves this time of year when you get more sun in the evening. Just a reminder of our initiative. We are continuing to ask for donations to the Lexington Food Bank. That's something we are going to continue to do every Sunday. We know that donations will be up and down, but as you can give to that cause, continue to do that. I know they greatly appreciate every donation. In fact, I got a personal person come from the food bank this past week. I think his name was Danny, if I remember correctly. And he just wants to pass along the message and thank you all so much for all of you that donated to help with the food shortage. And that he is grateful for the partnership this year from us to them in helping them keep that food pantry stocked, help our community in that way, and bless the people around them who are getting food. They serve people 3 days a week. And so you can imagine, sometimes they average almost about 16 families that come. And take care so that I'm telling you, each donation, each Sunday does help. So keep that in mind. We will continue to have lists of things that they need if there's certain items that do come short and they need it. But just continue to do that. We greatly appreciate that. Well, at this time, let's have a word of prayer and invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. And thank you so much for your presence in our lives. And thank you so much for the way you're moving in our lives. God, I pray that if you are calling us, I pray we'll listen. We'll listen for your voice. We'll listen for the moments in life that you're speaking to us. That we would recognize that it's you trying to reach out to us. And that we would be guided by your Spirit and listen and take to heart what you're wanting us to answer. Pray, God, that you would just continue to bless each and every person here, God. For those that couldn't be here this morning, I pray you be with them as well, Lord. And I hope and pray, God, that when we come back together next week, that we will continue loving on people. This church, our community, all of those around us, as you love on us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.